I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey there, and welcome to the podcast Easy Being Green. I'm Taylor Powers with my co-host Deanne Tetzel, and today's topic is the Great Barrier Reef. We're going to talk about why it's so important, what makes it so amazing, and the risks that it is undertaking due to climate change.
Right. Yeah, just recently, well, within the last couple of days, a report came out about the Great Barrier Reef that isn't very positive, which I guess isn't surprising, but is kind of disheartening. It's a very poor outlook, is the title of the report, due to climate change. So we know that for years now, corals have been being bleached due to the warmer temperatures in the oceans, and they are disappearing. So I was telling Taylor as we prepared for this episode, I saw another documentary at Sundance about this called Chasing Coral a couple of years ago. And so people, you know, were aware of this issue and this problem. But again, it's one of, just like we talked about, I think, a couple of episodes ago, it's difficult to, the climate change is happening at such a rapid rate that it's getting a hold of all of this stuff. And even with all of the science that is being poured into it, it's a little overwhelming when we look at some of these things.
Oh, definitely. And I feel like the Great Barrier Reef is one that stands out. From when I was a kid, I remember people talking about the Great Barrier Reef and how it was dying. And when Deanne says bleaching is the term that they use when the reef undergoes some sort of environmental threat or change. So it gets bleached during these heat waves. So when the temperatures heat up and warm the water, they'll go, just like on the planet, the water, the seawater will have heat waves. And so then the coral reacts by releasing this kind of ingredient that it stores inside of its tissue, which turns it white to protect itself during this environmental threat. And if it doesn't have enough time to heal during the next threat, it'll die. Mm-hmm. So the reason why it's so prominent right now, and that it's, you know, it's become such a crisis, is because we've had heat waves back to back in 2016 and 2017. So much of the reef didn't have time to recover.
Right. Back to back years of high temperatures, high water temperatures, which affect it. The whole environment in the reef is changing. And with the increase in the water temperatures, there are more of these, they're called crown of thorns starfish, and they eat the coral. So they're damaging it as well. But this, again, the habitat change affects all of this. There are too many of those. So they're feasting on it, in addition to the coral being bleaching and due to the increased water temperature. And then, like Taylor was saying, dying after back-to-back years of that. So,
What brought this to our attention was a study that just came out that showed that the baby coral, which every year baby coral is, you know, coral's just another species, so it has babies. And the rate of baby coral, the new babies, has declined by 89% due to the bleaching in 2016 and 17.
Yeah, it's just hard for the coral to replenish itself with all of these challenges. So some of the other things that are affecting it are development in coastal areas. So coastal development, just, again, human use, things like that. So there are other things besides the water temperature change, the climate change, but the majority of this is due directly to climate change. That's what's affecting this primarily.
And you know, a long time, well, not that long ago, just a few years ago, scientists thought that the reef was so big and so full of life that it would be resilient enough to withstand these kind of things. But after these 2 years and even, you know, they've been doing studies that show since 1996 it's been declining. And with these two, the 2016 and 2017 bleaching and the rate at climate change is going, they don't expect we're going to have, you know, 5 years without another environmental threat allowing it to recover.
All right. Chances are that this is going to keep happening. And there are things being done. They're trying, lots of research, like I was mentioning, is being poured into this. So they're trying to grow temperature-resistant coral and put them in there and things like that. There are a lot of scientists working on things here. But again, it's, I guess, overarching is what can we do as a group? And we've been talking about this a lot in order to do our part to mm-hmm. decrease the change in our temperatures that are affecting our ocean temperature, that are affecting so many things. So.
Yeah. And, you know, if you don't know how massive the reef is, it stretches for 1,400 miles off the coast of Australia and is home to how many species? I had it written down somewhere.
Yeah, there are
1,500 different species of fish.
Right, multiple species of fish, multiple species of sea snakes.
Sea snakes. they don't sound so scary when you put
sneeze. That's right,
sneeze. And over 30 different marine mammals, you know, the mammals you think of, dolphins and whales and that kind of things, and sharks. And so it's home to so much of our sea life. And without it, you know, they become extinct. That's where they live.
Right. Even birds, like when you think about the coral reef, you think about the underwater things. But I'm looking at barrierreef.org, which has a lot of information, by the way, and an opportunity to donate to them for the scientific, mm-hmm. you know, solutions that are being poured into this. Anyway, 215 species of birds that live there.
Wow.
And 6 of 7 of the world's species of marine turtles live there. I found the snakes, 14 species of sea snakes. It's interesting. Who would think about that? And hard and soft corals are there. So 600 plus types of hard and soft corals. And I know when I saw this documentary, what was really overwhelming to me and sad, I'll be honest, mm-hmm. was looking at the pictures of the coral reef with all of the beautiful colors of the corals and then looking at it after it had been bleached and died. It's really sad. Nothing. And they are, like I've said a couple of times, they're trying to find solutions. There's a lot of money and science being put into this. So,
yeah. But there's only so much that scientists can do. It's really on our society and our humanity as an entire team to all help out, do our effort to try to lower the greenhouse gas emissions. And the thing is that Australia, I mean, at least I always thought of Australia as doing a better job than we were, but their greenhouse gas emissions are rising and rising too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's dependent on that country as well to kind of do their part and get it lower.
Right. Finding other ways to manufacture, to get around, we as a population in all of these countries. And then it does feel a little overwhelming when we're thinking about all these countries that we can't even control. I like know. We were talking about with the Amazon rainforest, the politics and everything that play into it.
Not like we can control our country.
Right. Yes. So what they're working on right now is working on projects that will actively benefit the Great Barrier Reef and boosting the resilience of it. So kind of those things I was talking about with growing temperature-resistant coral and putting it in there and things like that. And then hoping that the Paris Agreement, the big agreement, that worldwide agreement that mm-hmm. we're hoping that people will meet some of the
Goals.
The goals of that agreement. So we're kind of crossing our fingers there, let the world come together and try to meet those conditions. And then in the meantime, they're trying to find ways to make it more resilient, because it inevitably is going, we're going to have more of these big weather events and things like that that will continue to affect the reef. So,
yeah, and as much money as you can donate, the more science that can be dedicated to this will help. But it's all for the, you know, the root cause of global heating and reducing the net greenhouse gas emissions to zero as quickly as possible. And, you know, so everything that we talk about in this podcast is our small little ways to reduce your carbon footprint, because it all goes to the greater good.
Right. And I think even just becoming aware of some of the ways, like watching that film for me really made an impact, and just talking to people about it, like, hey, did you know that this is happening and that our coral reefs are being endangered and have been for years and years? And becoming aware, finding out more, and then discussing it with the people that you know, so that they're more awareness is certainly the first part.
Earlier you said 600 soft and hard corals. Do you know the difference?
I don't.
Of like what soft coral versus hard coral are?
I don't know. But I would imagine on this site, the Great Barrier Reef Foundation, they probably get into more of that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. But I don't remember that from the film itself either. I just remember them looking at lots of different reefs, not just the Great Barrier Reef, but lots of coral reefs, and showing us they would do a dive and then they measured it and they went in after a certain amount of time and showed with the passage of time how this reef looked just a year, 2 years, 3 years later. And
So I found here it's made up of around 2,900 individual reefs and 900 islands. Like, it's massive, and it's the only living organism that you can see from outer space.
Right, right. You can see it from outer space. Mm-hmm. So I found something on the difference between hard and soft corals. Hard corals are kind of the ones that we think of that have, like, that skeleton-looking thing. So they build the reef. They're called reef-building corals. They provide kind of
a
skeleton structure, and it's made of, like, the same material as chalk, so calcium carbonate. Soft corals produce smaller amounts of calcium carbonate that help them keep their shape. So it's just sort of like, I guess, if you go out into the mountains and there are different kinds of rocks, there are different kinds of these corals. And
provides diversity for the fish and mammals that live there, and they probably feed off of different types.
Right.
That's the other thing, is they feed a lot of these species. It's not just a home.
That's right. They feed them. They provide habitat for them.
Mm-hmm. Protection.
That's right. So it sounds like, you know, the hard corals can absorb calcium and things like that, other minerals from the sea, to help them grow and make their skeleton. Soft corals don't require as much specialized care as hard corals do, but they both include a lot of species. And just like with anything else in the rainforest, once one of them is gone, it's going to change the whole environment. Right.
Yeah, it's all interconnected.
That's right. So, and I mean, if anyone's ever gone snorkeling, diving, anything, seen these, you know how beautiful they are.
And
you've seen them from movies and things like that.
Finding Nemo, yeah.
Right. That's right. So it's something that, in addition to all the other things we talked about and the habitat and things like that with all of the different animals and things that live there in these coral reefs, it's a beautiful thing for us to have in our lives as well.
And yeah, I would love to go visit there, see it.
Maybe we'll have to do a
remote on location
visit there.
I like that. I'm okay with that.
So we can bring you some more information.
Once we get enough listeners and maybe we get paid for this, then we can go to Australia.
Bring you some information from the field.
Yeah. So if you want to help us get to Australia, rate and review us. And then we can do a video episode for you guys.
That's right. We could take a boat out there. Yeah, 1,625 species of fish. 10% of the world's fish species live in the Great Barrier Reef.
Man. All right. So, well, let's do our part to help protect them and the beauty of this great, great place that we have in our world. So thanks for listening, and let's lower our greenhouse gas emissions.
Yep, do what we can as an individual.